This is my favorite because Apple Bottom Doorman says, I will protect you until my last drop of blood. And then Lord Fry says, I'm with you. I will also protect you until his last drop of blood. It's the best.
And like, that's a mood.
I'm Melody Carlisle.
And I'm Sabrina Bradley.
And this is Heaving Bosoms. This is the podcast where best friends recap romance novels and other kissing media that makes us swoon, snark, and refills our cups.
Whether you've read the book or are coming in blind, we'll lay bare every delicious scene and revel in the tropes and subgenres that make romance amazing.
All right, listener, strap in and strap on. Headphones are highly recommended.
Hello, Mel. How are you?
I'm delightfully sore everywhere, is what I am.
Is it because you had a delivery of some kind?
Is it because I almost single-handedly moved 5 yards of garden dirt all around my house?
Okay, to be clear, you continue to refer to it as 5 yards. That doesn't mean anything. Like, is there...
I know. Michael was also shocked at the amount of dirt it was, even after I had continued saying, it's going to be 5 yards. He'd be like, okay.
Do you mean like square yards?
Cubic yards. So it's like a 3x3 cube times 5.
Well, that's what I meant. That, not square. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Area. Sorry. Sorry.
About volume.
Yeah. I didn't mean to like, well, actually you.
It's fine. It's fine. Fuck my math degree. It's fine.
I'm sending you a video right now.
Oh, my God. Stoked. Am I watching this live on podcast?
You are. Yeah. And then I'll send you a photo in just a sec.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, boy-dy howdy. Get ready, Sabrina. It's a metric fuck ton of dirt.
That's a lot of fucking dirt, Melody. Oh, my God. Did they just dump that shit on your driveway?
On my driveway, and get this. So I knew that I had to move
it. Holy shit. Listener, this is a dump truck of dirt.
Yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
You could bury so many bodies.
Mm-hmm. I know. Luckily, I'm just going to bury like perennials and shrubs.
Wow. Also, I love that you put a tarp down that did not contain.
No, it did not. It didn't contain it fully.
This tarp is
going to
do the thing. And the tarp was like,
I didn't think it would, like, really, but it's easiest to get them to, like, you know, dump it efficiently if you have, like, a space marked where you want them to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tarp really helps for that. Oh, God, it was incredible. It was such a good day. I had so many people. It was really funny because, like, I've told you, our road is like a walking road. You know, a lot of people in, like, you know, adjacent neighborhoods come down our road to walk. And I had so many people walking by and either gawking, or I had my over-ear headphones on. And so they would, like, wave and then, like, give me, like, really big thumbs up and stuff.
That's adorable.
It was really cute. Yeah. And Michael helped anytime he was home. So he probably helped me with, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 wheelbarrows. And then I did the rest, which was probably about 40 wheelbarrows minimum. And
Where did you put all this dirt?
In my front yard and in a bed next to my garage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll send you more pictures. Don't worry.
We're going to have to put pictures on Instagram as well. You realize that, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. I didn't. I tried to be like, I'm going to be a content creator today. I'm going to video myself shoveling a bunch of stuff and like, I'm going to video. And I
didn't do any of it.
It was a mad dash because we took the Prius out of the garage to make sure that like Michael could do Ember school pickup. But I didn't take out the van because I was thinking like, yeah, I'll definitely have this all done by 4:30. And like, turns out that was a great strategy because holy fuck balls, did I bust my ass until it was out of my driveway by the time I had to pick up Valor. But like,
that is you were really like, we're just gonna risk it all.
Yeah, I was like, we're doing it.
Okay.
It's gotta happen.
All right. Wow, that's a risky move. My anxiety gremlin is like, oh, interesting.
Yeah,
scribble,
so I
scribble,
moved
scribble, scribble.
I moved all of that dirt in about like less than 5 hours. That was me all
day.
So
like, are you like ripped now? I feel like, are we like,
I'm just sore
welcome
everywhere.
Welcome to the gun show kind of situation? Because I
Not
feel like
yet.
That's what's coming.
Not yet, but some, you know, I'm going to keep
you're gonna
it
get,
up.
You're going to get dirt
I'll report
ripped.
Back. Hell yeah. Man, if I could get like 15 more yards delivered, I totally would.
15?
Yeah, it's such good dirt. Oh my God. It's
God,
like,
you make me want to order
it's such
dirt.
Good dirt.
Did I tell you that I started? I'm sure I didn't actually, because I was waiting to tell you live. I started Googling raised plant beds and how to build those.
You can do it really easily and you don't have to buy like, you know, the galvanized steel ones are really pretty, but
guess what? I have a fuckload of wood in a barn. I'm not
there
buying
you go.
Shit. I have a drill. I have a bunch of wood I'm not using in a barn and I got
three
acres.
I'm so jealous.
Fuck it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So like today I went outside and I raked a bunch of it around and I like got it so that it was mildly flat in some places because I didn't do that. I just sort of dumped it, you know, mad dash dumping it where it needed to go. And then I also we have this pile of wood that are like logs that was just like on our property when we moved here because I guess they pulled out a bunch of trees. And so I spent this evening carrying those around and edging some of the beds with like reclaimed wood that was just around.
Look how fancy you are.
I know.
Okay.
And I've been saving all the rocks I dig up on my property. And so that's going to be edging for beds. Ooh, it's so fun. Anyway.
Look how fancy you are.
Yeah. And the guy who delivered it was so cute because he called me to be like, hey, you know, I think I'm going to be on my way like pretty soon. And I was like, okay. And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so excited for you to get here with this dirt. And then when he got here, you know, we chatted for a little while and I was like, I'm just going to get started. I'm so excited. And he was like, you just wait. You're going to be so excited for what this dirt is going to do for you. And I was like, oh,
you're like, you have no idea. Good Samaritan. You have no fucking idea.
You're making my crazy dreams come true. Thank you so much.
Okay. That's like the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I know.
I support this.
Okay. Listen.
We have to talk about a book.
No, we have patrons.
We have patrons.
The other thing I'm super excited about are all of our beautiful patrons who joined. Thank you for signing up for our Patreon. We super love it. And we super appreciate you. And we hope you love all the shit we're doing there. Because it's a lot. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So, hey, thanks, and welcome to Farisa and Julie.
To Kanishka and Liz.
Liz R and J-O,
Heidi and Nav B,
Deanna C and Courtney W,
and then Fiona B, and last but definitely not least, Susan R.
Wow, y'all.
And don't forget, patrons, this Friday, we have our author hang with Victoria Aveline, and we're going to be doing rom-com trivia. And this is past Sabrina, hoping that future Sabrina has finished trivia by the day.
Yeah. And you can ask her all the questions that you want about Placania or anything else you want.
Guess what, listener? This isn't a book club. This isn't an interview.
No.
This isn't any of that shit. This is literally us just hanging out with Victoria Aveline.
Yep.
For a little while on a Friday
night. It's a group activity.
That's what author hangs are. So bring your questions. Bring your thoughts. Bring
your jokes. Bring whatever you want. Bring your knitting.
Bring your knitting. Get popcorn.
Yeah. Have chocolate. Put your cat up on the camera.
This is just a bunch of buds budding around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There is nothing serious about this. Okay.
But I mean, like, come with serious book questions if you have them. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you have them, like, but like also be ready to just kind of, you know, vibe.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We're looking for sleepover vibes.
Yes. Oh, grown up lady sleepover vibes.
Hell yeah. All right. Speaking of grown up ladies, can I just throw out that this grown up lady felt real seen by this autistic ass coded heroine? The special interest with Harriet and ravished by Amanda Quick is strong. I don't know if it was intentional, but I was like, I feel very seen right now.
I loved it. Yeah. Yep. As a person who can pretty much only think about gardening lately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So we meet when they meet. Like, the literal first page is meet cute. Okay.
Oh my God. It was a perfect meet cute.
It was, because he walks into Bone City. He's like, I've walked into the third layer of hell, probably. There are bones everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. that's a human skull. What the fuck is going on? And there's just this, like, blue stocking sitting at a desk with her back to him.
With frizzy hair.
Oh, her frizzy hair makes me so happy. And he's there because she has summoned him.
Yeah, she straight up wrote him a letter and was like, hey, dude, bad things are happening. I need you to show up.
Oh, my God.
And you, like, you're the biggest landowner in the area. And there's things afoot.
Yes, there's intrigue and maybe murder afoot. She was so dramatic in this letter.
That instead that of, like, just like writing it off, he's like, oh, shit, I have to go to Upper Biddleton.
Yeah, and he hates it here.
I don't want to go to Upper Biddleton.
Everybody hates him and he hates it here.
So
because there's
listener,
drama in his past, everybody. Oh, my God.
Our heroine is Harriet.
Yes.
Pomeroy. Our hero is Gideon St. Justin. He is in line for an earldom.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you know that this book is when I realized that a countess is to an earl, like a duchess is to a duke?
Yeah, that always fucked me up.
I had no idea. I've just, like, it makes sense because I've never met a Count St. Justin. You know what I mean? Like,
no, totally. And not, also, like, not other than Count Dracula.
That's exactly
or,
what I
or Count
thinking.
Chocula.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Count Vampire of some kind.
Mm-hmm. No, and but here's the other thing, everybody. I didn't know that a Viscount is an Earl Jr.
I
thought they were
not
two
either.
Totally different things.
Well, Viscount is his
current title.
Yeah.
Because he's the son of the Earl who's still alive.
Well, and it makes sense because there's Viscount and Viscountess and then Earl and Countess.
But I thought it was like Baron and Earl, not like Earl and son, you know? I don't know why I thought that.
I learned a lot about the gentry.
What's
from
the
this
son
book?
Of a duke, I wonder? What are they? Are they something special? Are they an Earl?
It's just going to be one of the courtesy titles of the family, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that sounded really official and historical and stuff. Wow. Hmm.
You know who you need to ask is, you missed it at the watch party. You had gone to bed, you yawny bitch.
Emily!
HB Emily is a fucking genius. She screen shared. Oh, I don't know if she wants me to talk about this publicly.
Okay.
Well, I'm telling you, Mel.
Yeah, tell me. And we can ask her, and if not, we'll cut it out.
Yeah, sounds good. She shared the most beautiful spreadsheet that she has where she tracks the names and the professions and the titles of, because she only reads historical.
Oh.
It was the sexiest spreadsheet I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. oh my God, I know what my lady love is. Holy shit, I can't believe I yes. forgot about this. Oh my God.
Same. No, you can have it, but I know exactly what you're thinking.
Is it
so it
something
happened
to do
at the watch party?
Oh, no. Oh, that one's also very cute. No, I have a different lady love.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But that is a lady
love. I don't know the inside.
You know what?
Brain.
I have two lady loves, okay?
Leave some for the rest of us, Sabrina.
I'm calling it now. We can share one of them.
That's fair. Okay, so look, she's sketching these bones, all right? Because that's what she does with most of her day. And she is the daughter of a rector who died.
A reverend boy.
Yep. He was a man who preached some gospels, and now he's dead. And so she's the daughter.
Quick,
yeah.
Of note, I understood more about gentry. I understood less about religious people.
Okay.
Like religious leaders. I was like, reverend rector? Or what?
Listen,
I don't know what religion you're practicing.
The only thing that I can think when I hear the title rector is that Joe Rector hardly knew her.
Oh my God. I just think that it sounds like, I don't know,
rectum.
a group of rectums, you know.
Oh, like a frenzy of sharks.
Uh-huh. Or like a flock
of
seagulls.
Of
rector of rectums. So anyway, continue your actual summarizing of this book.
I don't know. I can't. Anyway,
so she's puttering around. Yeah. He acknowledges that she is an attractive woman, even if she is unconventionally so.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, while he's sitting there thinking, that's kind of a sexy lady, she's like, oh, I don't need to worry about this, being alone in a room with a man, because I am entirely unravishable.
I'm 25 and on the shelf. I'm an old woman who's never gonna be looked at by a man ever. Also, he's got a scar all the way down his like cheek and jaw.
Oh yeah, he is a y'all.
And he's
get ready. Thank you, Patreon Discord, because we now have a turn for our broken sad boys. They are Sebastians.
They're Sebastians.
And if they're only a little sad, they're a little Sebastian. Which is a really beautiful callback to Parks and Rec that brings me a lot of joy. And it's not actually a callback to it, but it's all I can think about.
No, totally. It's a wonderful reference.
You sad tiny horse. Let's fucking get it. Anyway, he is a Sebastian. He has a past.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, he's there and he's like, okay, so I'm a gentleman. I'm a big ol', you know, in the royal succession kind of. No, it's not true. But, you know, I'm up there. I'm a rich boy. And you summoned me very dramatically. And she's like, well, there's shit going on and I need you to fix it because I need to get back into my caves. And he's like, your caves. And she's like, yes, the caves that I go and I fossil hunt in, they're mine. And I can't go in there right now because there are bandits. And the bandits are storing their ill-gotten goods there. And I'm really afraid that if they find me there, they'll murder me right in the face. And he's like, your instincts are probably right. And so she's like, you, obviously, being born here and raised here and have all the roots here, you care about this area. And so, of course, you're going to feel responsible and need to, you know, thwart these evil villains.
Yeah, and he's just like, nice try, lady.
I hate this place almost as much as it hates me. Okay.
That's exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, why didn't you just talk to my solicitor about it? And she's like, I don't trust your solicitor. For good fucking reason, listener.
Not solicitor. It's the guy who runs the place.
It's a solicitor. Yeah, it's called a solicitor.
No, that's a lawyer.
He is called the solicitor in this book. A solicitor.
Really?
Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Who cares? I wouldn't have called this dude a solicitor if it was not referenced as such in the book, okay. To be clear.
All right. He's the land manager is what he is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He probably is also a solicitor.
I feel like a lawyer would be in charge of that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I could see a lawyer being the
Lawyers
land manager.
Lawyers can do so many things.
I know. It's kind of mind boggling. Hey, you ever like meet somebody and then you find out they're like, yeah, I do this because I'm a lawyer. And you're like, what?
Yeah,
that
totally.
Never tracked, but cool. Good for you. That's a niche-ass thing to do with lawyering. But anyway, Yeah. So we also find out that Harriet's plan is to take her sister to London for a season because her sister is a youthful, beautiful, bright, happy young lass. And she's going to basically be the fortune of the family and keep like Mary well.
Mm-hmm. That's her job.
And yeah, that's her job. And Gideon finally is like, OK, fine, I'll do something about the caves. But you need to stay the fuck away from the caves, lady. Spoiler alert, listener, she does not.
Well, and I love it because she's like, but I have to show you exactly where the thing is and what the people do. And I can tell you about the schedule of the tides and like all the stuff. You need me.
Also, like, I have to fossil hunt.
They're my caves. I fossil there. I do fossil caves stuff.
And he's like, actually, they're my caves. Well, like, I can just see them like looking, eyeballing each other like, mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
So she is very excited about this and she's like ready for a team up. Meanwhile,
and then Mrs. Stone, the fucking housekeeper, shows up and immediately is like, it's the Beast of Blackthorn Hall, and then faints. She's like, oh my God, because he's touching her. He has his finger chucked up under her chin. Oh my
because
God!
He's like,
I don't
look
know what
me
it,
in the face, and I'm gonna tell know. You to stay out of those caves. Man.
What is it? I don't know why that's so sad. A fucking
pretty sexy
chin chuck. I know.
And like Mrs. Stone has the constitution of a fainting goat.
Yes.
Like, what is this woman's problem? How does she not have a TBI from all the time she hits the ground?
I think that she does. That's why she is the way that she is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's either that or she's a raging asshole. It's probably both, really. Like,
probably both.
The entire book, I was like, Mrs. Stone, I need you to fucking settle the fuck down and take 18 steps back, roughly.
Yeah.
You're being a bitch.
Yeah. And so she's like, you can't be around this man. He'll ruin you. He already ruined one rector's daughter. He can't do it again if I'm around.
And then she faints. I'm pretty sure you can do anything while you're around because
Absolutely.
You're never fucking conscious.
Yeah. And so she's like, Gideon, because that's his first name. She doesn't call him that right now, but it's fine. Gideon, get out of here because you can't be around when she wakes up or she'll just hit the ground again. And he's like, cool. I'll get back to you when I have like a plan. I'm going to call an England Times policeman about it and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. So he leaves and then we get the story. Apparently, it turns out he was affianced to the previous rector's daughter and then broke the engagement. And then trigger warning, suicide. She shot herself while pregnant. Mm-hmm. This is the story that we hear. This
while
is not the actual
with his
story.
Baby.
Yes. Because he threw her over.
Yeah. He knew that. And he was like, I'm not marrying you. And she was like, here I go. Goodbye.
And like, listener, we all know. We all know that's not what happened. That's definitely
not what happened.
Oh, my God, Melody. I Sherlock Holmes some stuff in this book. I did not Sherlock Holmes any of the shit at the end.
I Sherlock Holmes all of it.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know why. And I'm wondering if it was like part of my mood or something as well. Because like, you know, haven't been great. But I had a hard time connecting with this book. And I'm wondering if that's why I could Sherlock Holmes so much better.
Oh, see, I was just delighted by this heroine. And
sure,
so
yeah.
I was just along for the ride with Harriet.
Yeah. That's fair.
Like
that's
I was like not paying attention to shit because I was just so enthralled with Harriet. Harriet and I would be best friends.
Totally. No, she's great. She's totally
great. But like my closest friends are people with special interests. And her level of special interest is like crack cocaine to me.
Yeah.
Just being around her, witnessing her be so excited about something would be like a direct fucking IV shot of serotonin to my brain.
Yeah.
And like she's the kind of friend that would be problematic for me in the sense that I would be obsessed. I would be addicted.
Totally. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. No, it's funny because the first time I read this book, I really didn't connect with it very well. And for some reason, then the second time I read it, I was like, oh, my God, these people are amazing. And I love them. And they're so funny.
That's all. You know what? That's also like I just don't understand you.
Anyway.
You and your ways.
Anyway, so Harriet's like, Mrs. Stone, don't be a dumbass. Like, I'm unravishable. I am not pretty and I'm old and nobody wants me. So, like, even the beast of Blackthorn Hall.
Dried up husk of a human.
Yeah.
And also, why would I give a shit? I have my fossils.
I have fossils. I don't need any of this. So there is a part of her that's like, oh, no, I brought him back to the neighborhood, though. You know, she's mm-hmm. a little bit worried. But she's also like, I had a really comfy feeling around him. So I don't know. She's like on the fence about it.
Mm-hmm. She reads people pretty well, actually.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's the next morning. Obviously, she railroaded Gideon, because if there's one thing that this heroine is good at, is railroading Gideon into things.
Hell yeah.
And she railroaded him into agreeing to let her help him by showing him the cave. And so it's the next morning and she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that these scoundrels who are hiding things in the cave. What if they steal my fossils? And I'm like, Harriet. They don't want your fucking fossils.
They want the
jewels. Rubies and diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Gideon shows up and it's immediately clear to him that she knows about his past. And he starts regaling her about how it's such a convenient past to have.
Yeah.
He's like, I can just do
whatever I want.
I can do whatever I want. It doesn't fucking matter anymore. Everybody already thinks the worst of me, so I could just ravish you right here. And she's like, don't be silly. Who the fuck do you think you are?
But also, like, I'm getting tingles in places that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep. And then she starts nerding out. They get into the cave and she's nerding about all of these things. She finds this tooth and she's like delighted by it. And she's at one point she says, I hope to find something interesting in this cave one day. And Gideon looks over at her and says, I already have.
Uh-huh.
And I swooned.
Uh-huh. Well, and one of the things they talked about was that she can't get any fossils out of there because if she like messes up the wall and it looks different between the times that the thieves are come and go, they'll be tipped off that somebody knows about their hiding place.
And I didn't think about this, but Gideon points out that who the fuck else is going to have fucked with the walls other than the one fossil hunting person that goes into these caves? It's going to be a direct line to her.
Absolutely. But then she sees this tooth and she's like, I've never seen a tooth like it before. And like, what if they come and take it before I can come back? And he's like, stand down, get away from that tooth. She's like, I bet I could just do a chink, chink, chink. And he's like, no. So she has to like hold herself back and it's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he shows her like a diamond necklace. And she's like, oh, cool, cool, cool. But tooth, though.
Yep.
And he thinks to himself, like, I've never seen a person like not get excited about a specimen that's like worth this much, you know?
No, she's excited about the specimen, not that those paltry gems.
True.
And then, get this, there's a discussion of trespassing. And he's like, if you don't stop coming down here, I'm going to say that you're not allowed. And then it's trespassing and I'll fucking put a guard up there. And then how you're an innocent young woman. And then bang
and he's
it.
Backing her up
kissing.
Against the wall as this is happening.
They're fucking kissing.
Kiss.
He tells her, if you had any sense, you would run from me as fast as you possibly could. And she says, I do not think I could run a single step. And he says to her, just as well, I am suddenly not in the mood to let you escape.
OMG.
Sir?
Yeah.
So they're hot and heavy making out. And then he does the thing that he always does, which is gives into his shithead instincts after the last 6 years of being punished
kinda.
For something he didn't do. And he tells her that she needs to either get naked so they
and
can
lay on
fuck,
the floor. No.
Or leave.
Get naked and lay on the ground on
mm-hmm.
this stone ground or run.
Well, and
because
like,
that's the only way you're getting out of this. And so she does
and
run.
She does run. But we learn from his point of view very, very quickly right after this is this was him basically being honorable and making her leave.
Yeah.
And it was by him. Like he was like, I'm just going to be the crass, horrifying motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to go. And then I'm not going to ravish her. And then I'm Gideon. I can't with you.
Yeah. And he tells her that, like, he has a plan. He talked to an England Times detective, and that guy's coming down, and they're going to set up a trap, and they've got, like, a system of things worked out. And so they're going to work together, and they're going to catch these guys the next time they go to drop off at the cave. Meanwhile, he goes back, and, hey, it's a steward. A land steward.
A steward.
Not a solicitor. Yeah.
I swear to God.
He might also be a solicitor, but it's not. It's a steward. Anyway, so he goes and he realizes that his land steward.
My honor has been besmirched, Melody.
What? She's got to get to the bottom of it. Just like Gideon, because his honor is besmirched hard. So
solicitor shows up one time in this book, and it is not talking about him. So you're right. My honor is besmirched by my own dead setness. Continue. I'm just gonna take a seat.
So he's talking with his land steward, who turns out is not a solicitor.
Yep. And yep. Just you're gonna rub it in the rest of this fucking episode. It's gonna come up so often. This is gonna be the solicitor episode. Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, I promise, okay. I won't. I promise I won't. It's gonna be a dick.
It's fine.
Move.
I'll do it to myself. So it's fine.
Yeah. So he realizes that the steward is fucking him over real hard and like skimming off the books and doing all the business. But he doesn't want to tip him off because he has a feeling that if his steward is capable of this, then there's a good chance that he's also part of the looting band of thieves.
Well, yeah. So Zippy Zappy, yeah, where Zippy that zapping? Night, it's like the equivalent of the local tiny Upper Biddleton ball. Basically, it's like a weekly soiree.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you want to talk about a word that I'd never heard out loud and said out loud after reading it?
A quadrille?
Soiree.
Oh, soiree. Okay. All right.
Like, that's a word that I had read my entire life.
How you
multiple
been,
many times. And
how
then
you been
I
pronounced it up in that dome.
Well, this how happened a very long it? Time ago at this point, but like I always thought like I was pronouncing it in my brain soiree.
That's respectable.
No, it's not. It's not when you say it out loud and everybody looks at you and goes.
No, huh? I understand. But phonetically,
phonetically, it makes
you.
Sense. It all. I mean, it's the same thing as hyperbole. It's the same thing as epitome.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as viscount. It's the same thing. There's so many words.
We
but
can
like,
go on for hours.
Yeah. Boy, howdy, could we. But regardless, so they're at this soiree quadrille. Uh-huh. That's a good one. I do like that
Isn't
word.
Is it good? Well, because at this country dance, they're not allowed to do waltzes, okay?
It's scandalous.
Because the waltz, listener, is too sensual.
Sexy. Too fucking sexy. Do you ever just think about, like, what I wouldn't give to just drop some of those people into, like, nowadays? And just...
Into, like... Like the grinding central,
yeah.
Of nowadays,
like,
dancing.
I want you to watch Magic Mike.
Yeah, like, yeah. You want to see a body roll? Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so while they're there, she's hanging out with some fossil hunters, and then Gideon just appears, and he's like, he goes up and he requests a song, and he grabs Harriet and is like, "This dance is mine." And then, da 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 da. They waltz.
It's
they waltz,
a waltz
on that floor. And all of the youth are so excited. It's like fucking Elvis Presley walked into the goddamn room.
Yes.
Like they're like, yeah.
Goddamn Ludacris is here.
Yeah.
And he's ready
time
to get you going.
Pump it up. Get ready, kids. It's the weekend. Anyway, so he and she dance and they chat. And then once they're done dancing, he just leaves. He did the one dance and then he left. And everybody
he
is
didn't ask a
all
single
a titter.
Other human, which would be the proper thing to do. You must dance with multiple ladies. No, he had
if
eyes
there's
for
one
thing,
woman. If there's one thing that we've learned about Gideon, he does not give a shit about the proper thing. If he's just going to kind of do as he pleases.
Not if everybody shits on you no matter what the fuck you do.
Well, that's exactly it. It's like, why the fuck would I worry about the proper thing if you're going to hate me anyway?
Yeah.
Which, like,
absolutely.
Fair. You know what? Good for you, Sebastian.
My favorite thing is that this is the first time of many that we see somebody see like his interest in her and like try to put their body in between the two and be like, Miss Pomeroy, I'm here to protect you. And like, I will save you from the beast of Blackthorn Hall.
And then she fucking comes back at them and is like, don't you fucking call him the beast of anything. How fucking dare you? Every single time she stood up, I have like a note for every single time because it brought me so much fucking joy. She has been on his side and supporting him from the very beginning, and it's the most beautiful thing because she is just, oh god, she's not gonna take anybody talking bad about her man because she is like, she's into this man. So okay, one thing, he doesn't actually immediately fuck off. He is, in fact, he's like, the proper thing would be to be introduced to your family now because they're all staring at us. And she's like, but do we really have to? We could just keep dancing and talking about the caves, though.
Right, right.
But yeah, so let's zippy zap. Fucking zippy zap us, Mel. Where are we zippy zapping
to? It's intrigue times. We're zippy zapping all the way to when she's looking out the window at night and she sees two figures walking toward her caves at night. I know I've skipped a bunch, but we're 40 minutes in and we're doing this in one episode.
I know, but I just need to say one thing, okay? Because Gideon has a quote, okay? Something about Harriet was definitely making him reckless. Gideon had tried to tell himself she was an annoying little blue stocking whose only passions were reserved for old bones, but he knew that was untrue. Harriet had more than enough passion to satisfy any man, even if he had not experienced it in her kiss that morning in the cave. It had been crystal clear in her eyes last night when he had taken her into his arms to dance the waltz. And he has decided that if she's so eager to burn herself, maybe he'll let her play with fire. So we're just setting the scene. Continue.
Yeah. Okay, well, Harriet can't sleep. And so she looks outside and she sees two figures in the dark going into her caves. And she's like, oh, shit. And she knows about these signals that the policeman and Gideon have set up. So then she sees two more figures come over. And then she's like, oh, my God, it's going down. It's going down right now. I've got to get like at least a little peeksy, you know, just like a teensy one. It'll be fine. I'll stay far away. It's great. So she hangs out on like the cliffs above the cave, thinking that she's like the smartest cookie in the land, except that then she gets a knife to the throat because that steward of Gideon's is part of that thievery gang. And he was the one keeping watch while the other two dumb fucks went in there first to like drop off the loot. And so he's like, we're going in there after they leave and then we're going to get the stuff and then I'm going to wreck you. You know, you'd be big trouble, whatever's. And she's like, oh, no. She's trying to figure out like how to get out of this.
So they get into the cave and she's like, I'm going to have to rescue myself, which she does by yelling Gideon's name when and knocking over the light. And he scrambles and then she runs off and he shoots the gun and then he follows her for a minute. But then he gets scared of the caves, runs out, and then Gideon appears. But guess what? The tide is coming in, listener. And so they have to spend
tide is too high.
The night. The tide is high and we're stuck in the cave.
And there's only one cave.
Yep. Time to lose my innocence and naivete. Anyway. So,
yep, we're gonna drop that single pretty soon.
Yep,
no worries.
It literally writes itself. Yeah. So, oh my god, he does make the most hilarious thing. He's like, not exactly the most pleasant of in rooms, is it? Surface is poor, and I imagine the stone floor is going to become extremely uncomfortable by morning. Remind me not to leave a tip with the management. But he does take his pantaloons off, and he is wearing just his shirt.
Listen, they're wet. No, he has to take his shirt off, too. And so all he's wearing is his great coat.
No, he's wearing his shirt because he has to ruck it up out of the way when he, in fact, does do everything that our little hearts desired. And they do go to Pound Town tonight, listener.
Yeah, they do.
Because she's the one who gets like a little naked as well. And then they snuggle up in their jackets. And then she plays with fire.
He makes her a bed out of burlap sacks. He makes them
to be clear,
nest.
He also makes him a bed. It is their nest. It is their fuck nest.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And he's trying to be so good. And she's like, I'm so sorry to inconvenience you, my lord. And he's like, you have no idea how much we're both going to be inconvenienced. And like, I wonder if you've ever thought about fate. And she's like, not really ever at all, because I'm a woman of science. And he's like, well, you get ready. And there's like, he says something about inevitability, doesn't he?
Yeah. Gideon realized now that once she had smiled at him, once she had reached for him and opened herself willingly to him, all his good intentions had gone up in smoke. Making love to Harriet had become as inevitable as the dawn.
Oh, my gosh.
It was pretty beautiful.
And like, he tries to pull back a couple of times and she's like, no, do not leave me. I want this. I want you. I want to do this. And it's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. And he's like, God, I want you. I've never wanted anything more in my life. And it was a really good, it was a good first time. Listener, read the book.
It was
great. And then guess what? We do, in fact, wake up in the morning and make our way back to Upper Biddleton. And she's ruined. He's like, you go home. I'm going to come ask for your hand in marriage this afternoon. And she's like, no, you're not. And he's like, yes, I am. And she's like, no, you're not. That's ridiculous. I'm on the shelf. It doesn't matter if I'm a ruined woman.
Yeah,
and he says, but guess what? It matters to me because I've already gotten a shit reputation for ruining one woman. I refuse to continue the reputation by ruining another. So we're getting married, Harriet.
Well, and then he says something to the effect of, it didn't seem like such a horrifying prospect to be with me last night.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't find you repulsive at all. Go ahead.
He says, will marriage to me be so bad, Harriet? Last night you did not appear to find me repulsive. You are not in the least repulsive, my lord. She says, that is not the point. The point is that I did not wish to be married out of a sense of duty. And he says,
yeah,
I understand. You are a very headstrong sort of female. Into her hair. And it's just really cute. There are so many scenes where they're like hugging and he's talking into her hair. And I can picture it so perfectly with his like arms around her and his like face buried into her head with like a wry smile as he just gruffly says all of these things. Oh, God. It's so
Because listener, she spends at least a good 2/3 of this book thinking that he doesn't give a fuck about her one way or another. He just doesn't find her like totally intolerable and he didn't want to lose more of his honor. And it's very clear to everyone else. He's totally besotted with her. It's ridiculous.
So, we end up meeting his butler because she does go home and his butler owl is like distinctly unimpressed with this entire situation. He is like, yes, my lord. Okay.
Owl, like, he doesn't suffer fools.
No, it's also Gideon chose his butler and frankly all of his staff the way he chooses his horses, by their loyalty, strength, and stamina. And we find out that Owl used to be a pugilist. That never comes back, but I just really wanted to say that word. So anyway, Gideon does tell Owl to make sure that he's dressed to the nines, and then we zippy zap to Harriet at home, and her family's like, don't be stupid, Harriet. He's not going to come. He's already thrown over one woman. Why the fuck would he give a shit about your
reputation? And Mrs. Stone is like, mark my words, he'll never return.
Mrs. Stone, I'm going to need you to put a fucking sock in it. Okay.
She can't. She's never seen a sock in her life.
She is insufferable. So clippity clop, clippity clop. We hear the thundering hoofbeats of Gideon and he gets there. And before he can even get in the door, Mrs. Stone has some fucked up shit to say. She's like, I can't believe you ruined another rector's daughter. And he's like, get out of the way, Miss Stone. And Harriet's like, oh, my God, he's already pissed off. I can hear his footsteps, which means he's pissed.
Yeah, because it's offer of marriage time. And then she realizes afterwards, because it's very funny, they kick her out of the room while the marriage negotiations happen, because it's obvious that she's not going to aid the conversation at all.
Yeah.
And then as she's thinking about it later, she's like, oh no, I'm engaged to a man that I'm definitely in love with. And I knew that because I did. That's why I gave him my virtue. And he doesn't give a shit about me.
He's just marrying me out of a sense of honor and duty.
And I'm totes in love with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. It's real sad. But she's a practical lass. And I'm like,
first world problems, Harriet, okay?
That is also
like,
very
what
true.
The fuck? I'm as glad somebody... she's not, like, angsty about it. That's really good.
Yes, this is accurate. Yeah. Speaking of first world problems, I was distraught that I didn't have the right kind of chocolate ice cream in my home this week. And that I didn't realize it until it was too late to go to the store. And then I did eat that ice cream. Actually, no, it wasn't even chocolate ice cream. I had coffee ice cream, but I really wanted chocolate ice cream. And then you'll be so proud of me, Mel. I was the adultiest adult last night. I almost DoorDashed myself chicken nuggies and a Frosty from Wendy's. Okay. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. I was so proud of myself because I was that close to pulling that trigger, but I knew that I would regret it. Yeah, but instead, I made hot cocoa. Fine. I guess I'll drink hot cocoa instead of a delicious frosty. What, hot chocolate?
Yeah, I should do that
soon. Do you have hot chocolate?
I do. Well, I make my own, yeah. But I have mini marshmallows.
Get ready. Whenever you inevitably come to visit me, I have 43 different kinds of loose leaf tea and like 18 hot chocolate bombs because one of my friends makes them. We're just going to go to town.
I'm obsessed with you.
There's a lady around here who makes Andy's mint hot chocolate bombs. Oh my God. They're so fucking good. But anyway, so...
Okay, and now they're going to go to London because they've got a rich aunt who's going to finance Felicity, her little sister's season in town. And so they're like, you need to go to town too. And she's like, no, I'm going to do fossil stuff here. And they're like, no, you're going to come to town because Gideon stops by like the next day and he's like, I'm so sorry. My dad is sick. And so I must away. And I'll, you know, be back as soon as I can. And so, of course, Mrs. Stone and, like, you know, everybody else is like, oh, no, he's fucking off forever.
The bans have not been posted.
That's the one. No notices have been posted or whatever. And so she's like, guys, he proposed to me. We're engaged. We're getting married.
Unfailing, unwavering belief in Gideon throughout this entire book is one of the best things I've read. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, because there's not a moment. Everybody else. Yeah, because basically what's going like unsaid here is that they're taking her to London under the guise of like buffing her up a bit so that she's better with society.
Polish, some social polish.
Yeah, so that she can be a good Viscountess. But what they're actually doing is encouraging her not to talk about her engagement because now she's an heiress. She's going to get that money from her aunt. And so there might be somebody else that could offer marriage for
her. And she's like, get fucked. I'm engaged to Gideon.
Yeah, Gideon is already here. Like, and it's very cute.
The heck. Yeah, it's really
delightful. And so she's fucking miserable until she finds her fossil club. And then things are way better.
Oh my God. Her and her little special interest friends brought me so much joy because all of them are equally unhinged about fossils.
Yes. Which,
like, to be clear, or not to be clear, but to be fair, this is that time period. This is that time period where they really started getting what fossils are. Getting into fossils is like Stanley Cups. You know what I mean?
Like, Stanley Cups? Like hockey times?
No, like those cups that everyone is losing their shit over right now.
Like red Solo cups?
No, like...
What's a Stanley Cup?
I am one of the least in touch with society, like in touch with what's cool people in the entire world. And
I have not been capable of any contact with the outside world.
Months. This is months that this has been happening, Mel.
Well, apparently it's been a while.
People were losing their shit over them for Christmas. People were losing the shit over them for like there were fancy Valentine's Day. I am so fucking vindicated. Listen, any of my friends who are listening,
thing. Mel knows less than I do about what's popular and cool right now, okay? There's a human being in the world who is under a deeper rock, and I need you to back the fuck off. Said politely and kindly, I love you so much. But anyway,
no, totally.
So it's like the hip, cool thing, right? Like, this is...
Cups, huh?
Yep, yeah. It's Stanley Cups.
No, they're into cups now. Mm-hmm. But instead it's bones of old yep. shit. It's yeah. rock bones. Bone yeah. rocks.
And so while they're there, she is going out to balls and dances and stuff. And this is when we meet Bryce Moreland, that wily weasel piece of shit.
Ooh, I hate him.
So we're going to give a little bit of his background real quick, because I don't remember when it happens in the book, but he is the one who gave Gideon the scar.
Mm-hmm.
Gideon and himself got into like a jokey fight when they were a bit too much into their cups. And then
not their Stanley cups, though, because that's a later development.
I don't want this to be the callback, Mel. I don't want that to be the joke of this episode.
No, we need totally. Something of better. Course not.
I swear
is
to God.
It solicitors? I'm so tired.
I
shoveled 5 yards of dirt.
Love
yesterday.
Yourself as much as you love a basic bitch who loves her Stanley Cup. Like,
okay.
Oh God, yeah. I don't want it to be that. We have to find something.
Sure,
else.
Sure, man.
We have to find something else. I don't want it to be
well,
that.
Well, let's keep going then. All listen, right. he so, cut his face to shit, is what he yeah. did, and he claimed to do it on accident, but it super wasn't on accident for sure.
Yeah, but then Gideon almost fucking myrtleates the shit out of Bryce until somebody stops him, which, like, fair. Yeah. So they, and this was like a decade ago. This was like so fucking long ago. And then we find out, listener, because, well, we don't find this out quite yet, but
we can't tell them that. Yeah. But I will say that Gideon and he continued to be friends until like later on.
4 years.
Which says so much about Gideon and his loyalty and all the business. So anyway, Bryce is dancing with her and she's like, he looks like an angel, but I get a wonky feeling about him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I heard you might be engaged to the Beast of Briarwick Hall. And she's like, don't you call him the Beast? And why does your face look like that?
Did you say Briarwick Hall? Where did that even come from?
What is it?
Blackthorn?
Oh, oh
no. Briarwick Hall it is. So anyway, then afterwards, Harriet is hanging out with her fossil friends when the Beast of Briarwick Hall does appear and shakes her off into a waltz again. And then he makes some dumbass comment about how it would be nice if she had some affection for him. And she blatantly looks at him and is like, why, my lord, I do. What yeah. the fuck are you talking about? And then they waltz and it's adorable. And Gideon is so happy that she's not polished. He's like, nothing has happened. Nothing has changed.
No, and I like that.
He was worried that they yeah. were going to succeed. That's why he came to town so fast, as he was like, I have to go make sure that they don't succeed.
Yeah, because he went to visit his dad, but his dad was like, okay. I think he just wanted to like check in, but didn't know how else to say it. And so it's really sad because it's very clear that his family believe all of the terrible stories about him just as much, if not more, than perfect strangers. And they haven't gotten along since the scandal happened.
So we think anyway.
No, that's exactly what. No, that's true.
They don't believe everything. They don't. About Deirdre. Yes. Oh, there's another yeah. rumor, by the way, listener, that we find out that he killed oh, yeah. his brother to become the Earl.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And like he didn't.
No, of course he didn't. But anyway, yeah. No, you're right. Sorry. I was thinking about that.
Yeah. So then he's like, hey, I heard you might have been dancing with Bryce Moreland earlier. And she was like, yeah, I was. He's like, if you would please not do that anymore, I would really appreciate it. And uh-huh. she's like, what? Why? And he's like, you don't really need to know. I just need you to not associate with him.
He looks like an angel, but he's not.
And she's like, I am not some young chit. I am not some innocent. You need to tell me why I need to stay away from the people if you're going to give me mandates like that. And he's like, let's just say that he's not the angel he looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's all
and
she gets for right now.
Some dude walks up
yeah
and starts giving
some boorish dude
giving them some shit, and turns out it's the rector that
old rector,
the old rector. Yeah, I want to call him he's a rectum, frankly.
That's fine.
Yeah. So he comes up, but she doesn't know this, and she fucking lays into him and is like, leave this man alone, basically, about Gideon. And then he walks away.
Well,
and she's
wait,
like, who was
wait,
that gentleman?
No. It's very important. Hold on just a minute. Because she says to everybody and their goldfish, why does everyone continue believing this story? It's obvious what happened. And this guy is like, oh, yeah, what? And she goes, it's really obvious that this Deirdre lady wasn't pregnant with his kid. She was pregnant with somebody else's kid. So, like, that's why he broke off the engagement. He hasn't said a word to her about this. And everybody else is like, ugh! And the other guy is like, how dare you, madam? You're just as big a fool as I thought you were. And then he flounces off. And Gideon's just standing there being like, oh, my gosh. This woman is the best thing that's ever happened.
I'm
going to
wipe the shit out of this woman.
I'm wifing her so hard.
Yeah, turns out we're going to zippy zap along, and Harriet's family is a flutter. The whole fucking ton is a flutter over what happened the night before, and Harriet's put down. But Harriet still believes that Gideon's honor is more important to them than how he feels about her or how she feels about him. And I'm just like, you're a ding-a-ling. You're a ding-dong. This is another ding-dong book.
She's really cute, though, you know?
Oh, she's adorable about it.
My other favorite thing, because as soon as I read that scene, the one where she was talking to Rector Sutherland or whatever his name is that I was expecting her to be like, oh, fuck, I just said that to the girl's dad.
Oh, yeah, like, she didn't give a shit.
I feel terrible about that. And she...
unapologetic.
No qualms.
She's like, I don't give a fuck. He's being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which,
and like true
wrong.
Sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really not a whole lot happens until the next important thing. But one thing that is important is that Felicity does make the comment that Gideon treats her like a exotic pet that needs to be shown off. And because somebody put it in her head, starts to realize that he kind of does. Like, he takes her out in like a bright yellow chariot. What are they called? I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter. Chariot. And yep.
I like it. I think it might be a phaeton.
That's it. That's it. Anyway, okay. So he had bright yellow chariot pulled by these big fucking hulking brutes of horses, because he gives Boram shit about stamina and endurance. Because he's a he doesn't give a shit about superficiality. And he's lovely. He looks believable.
Yeah, they're
everything.
Not fashionable horses.
And it just works out that his wife his soon to be wife is just the most beautiful thing he's ever set eyes on. Gideon.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of conversations that are also important about like Harriet's independence. And he's like, well, you're going to have to learn a little bit. And she's like, says who the fuck?
I don't know why. I don't know why I would have to do that.
In what world? In what world is that important?
And so she makes a bunch of friends with people at this fossil
Lord
club.
Applegate. Lord Bay. Nope. Fry.
Fry. Yep.
Lady something Thorpe.
Applebottom, probably.
Sure. You know what? No, because we have Applegate already.
Mm.
That's going to get confusing. Anyway, the lady.
Mrs. Whipplethorpe.
That. Might.
I like Whipplethorpe a lot.
We're going with Whipplethorpe. You just really like that wh sounds today. We got Wick for
Briarwick.
Briarwick. We have Whipplethorpe. We have
Whipplethorpe. Whipplethorpe.
It's very fun to say.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay, from here on out, any England Times lady that we don't remember the name of, Whipplethorpe. Just like, what is it about being able to just like huff that first sound that is just, it's a good one.
It's very satisfying. Yeah.
Oh,
so listen,
fuck.
Applebottom is like Lord Apple.
I
doorway.
Like that even more.
Lord
Appledore. store.
Tonight, where Lady just shit's going to come out of my mouth. Like, it's just one of those nights where I'm too Apple tired. Door. And so I'm going to do the first association that comes into my head.
You're just playing word association. It's fine. It's fine. So anyway, she does make these friends and they are like, oh, hey, we have some cool fossils you should come check out. And so she does go with them to check out those fossils. But guess what?
Wait. Really quick, before that, just really quick, Apple Bottom Doorman has been like, hey, do you want to be engaged to that man? Because I'll marry you like tomorrow. And she's been like, no, step off. It's fine. Like, I'm cool.
Well, no, let's talk about teeth and toes more. Her yet. He has not said that he'll marry her yet, because that comes out when they do, in fact, kidnap her to take her to Gretna Green. But like, he's been like, are you OK? Blink
once. Sure?
Blink no, once truly. Blink once if you need help. Blink.
I'll do anything I have to help get you out of this.
And guess what?
That does include is kidnapping away.
So they get going. This and is, when she realizes that she's being kidnapped, so literally, she just sits back to enjoy the ride because she's like, Gideon will find me. And even if we do get there, I'm not going to marry him. I'm not going to marry it's Apple Bottom Gate Man.
No, we won't. I won't do it.
I'm so sorry. Apple Bottom Doorman.
It's so cute. And like, and Melody, the way that she's like,
I love you just so much.
I love you too. Thank you for loving me. Oh and my how God. Special I am.
Whipplethorpe and Apple Bottom Doorman. Oh my God. Sweet fuck. Anyway.
Okay. So anyway, Felicity goes over there with her aunt and she's like, hey, bitch has been kidnapped and I'm certain of it. And he's like, well, you don't have to say anymore. Like, get my carriage. Let's go. And he's going to throw the fuck down. Yes.
So he does end up getting to them. And Apple Bottom Doorman and Lord Fry, the only one who gets his actual name, and Lord Fry are like, I will protect you from this beast. And Harriet's like, not a beast. Oh, hello, sweetheart.
Wait, really quickly, this is my favorite, because Apple Bottom Doorman says, I will protect you until my last drop of blood. And then Lord Fry says, I am with you. I will also protect you until his last drop of blood. It's the best.
And like, that's a mood.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mood. Yeah, for sure. So he catches up with her. He ends up ushering them back. And then he takes her in his chariot and they go stay at an inn.
This is great because he's like, listen. Well, so first of all, she has to like calm him down by being like, oh, I'm so glad that you caught up with us as we went for this very casual ride out around the country where nothing was going to happen and nothing untoward was going on.
Yeah, because the reason that he caught up with them so easily as well is that Lady Whipplethorpe's carriage is the slowest, trundliest carriage ever. It's like, even with the head start, Gideon caught up in Lickety Split that evening. It's not even dark yet.
Yeah. And she's trying to be like, the story here is that we were on a friendly ride because you're not going to challenge anyone and you're not going to duel anyone and you're going to keep your shit together. And then we're just going to ride off peacefully. And he's like, I feel like I could duel everyone. And she's like, don't. No. So then they go to this inn and he's like, hey, I know that we posted the shit and everybody knows that we're engaged. I know that we don't have to rush the marriage because we know you're not pregnant. But I feel like shenanigans like this are going to keep happening and people are going to keep trying to save you from me. And so I would prefer it if we just got a special license and got married tomorrow. How do you feel about that? And she's like, I actually love it. Let's do it.
Yes, it's delightful. And don't worry. Now they're in the inn room. Well, hang on, though. My favorite fucking thing, though, is that while they're in the inn, before they ever get to Pound Town, they're sitting there shouting their own flaws back and forth at each other.
Oh my God, I forgot about this.
I'm stubborn. And she's like, me too. I'm insufferable. And he's like, me too. And she's like, look how much we have in common. We are both insufferable. And it's hilarious. And then at the very end of all of this, though, Gideon, this swoony motherfucker, says, there's just one detail I would like to clarify. You are the most beautiful woman I have ever known. And then she says, well, there you have it, my lord. Matching flaws. Obviously, we are ideally suited, because their flaw is, she's like, you must be blind. And he's like, you must be blind too.
Because she thinks he's totally swoony. And he's like, I'm hideous and scarred.
And she thinks that she's plain and boring and ugly.
Oh, God,
they're so cute. And then, oh, by the way, he calls her little one.
Yeah.
And it kills me every time, because he is this big, hulking motherfucker. And he's like, oh, little one, I'm going to wreck you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does. And it's great.
And everyone loves it.
Well, and then this is important, because there's some talk. She's like, well, do you think that you'll ever love me? And he tells her that part of him died a long time ago, but he will take care of her. He will protect her. She will want for nothing. He will be devoted and a wonderful husband and all of these things. And I was like, honestly, I'd prefer all of that over love.
Yeah,
that's fine. But don't worry, listener. We all know that he's already and has been madly in love with her for like five ever.
Right. And she tells him that the only way that she will agree to definitely marry him today is if he promises that he won't duel Apple Bottom Doorman. And he's like, that is unacceptable. And she's like, well, then so is marrying you. And he's like, God again.
All right. I have a quote, and it's when he finally agrees, she says, very well, my lord, it is your wedding gift to me. I shall consider it such. He swept down upon her, seized her by the waist, and lifted her high into the air. And what is your gift to me? He demanded with a wicked grin. Whatever you wish, my lord. She braced herself against his shoulders and laughed in delight as he swung her around in a circle. You have only to name your desires. And like, there was something that like, it really hit me, not hit me. It like suplex body slammed me. This image of him like holding her. That's like my favorite scene in any movie, is when he like picks her up and just like twirls her around. And like, oh, I did not recover for a while at that scene.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. But anyway, yeah, so continue.
And now they go visit his parents.
Oh my God. This dinner conversation went off the rails so fast, and then it never came back on the rails. And to be clear,
so
the rails is anything not about fossils.
And it's so cute, because he's so indulgent about it. He's like, oh, you've got her on fossils. We'll never be back.
Oh, and one of my favorite things is she talked about how she went to town to get a polish, and his mother's like, did you acquire a polish? And she says, well, no, at least not a very thorough one, but I decided there was not much point in my becoming polished, as Saint Justin is certainly is not. And his mother looks so affronted.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, oh, it was so cute. And then they were bantering.
And she keeps on like giving him shit. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And his family's just like watching, like, what the actual hell. And then, oh my God, one of the best things that ever happened is she's like, so his dad is like, you're embarrassing the shit. Apologize to your wife. Harriet grinned cheekily at Gideon. Yes, Saint Justin, please do so at once. I do not believe I've ever heard you apologize. I cannot wait to hear this. And then he does apologize, and she's like, good job. I liked that. And I was just like, you two are so fucking cute and perfect. I love you.
Yeah, especially because like she, I don't know, she's just so honest about how he is. And it's because she likes how he is, even though everything she's saying could be taken as like not an insult, but like a criticism. She does not feel that way at all. And it's gorgeous.
It's not a bad thing.
Right.
And he loves all of her little quirks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So then he and his father talk about like the caves and the thieves and how his dad used to collect fossils there and all this stuff. And
I don't have any exact quotes, but he basically is talking about how the mastermind behind the caves needs to be some sort of upper gentleman who has access to all of these homes, has access to this and that, has an eye for quality, who knows the caves, who knows where to find fossils, who would have known about all of Upper Biddleton's hiding spots. And then Gideon is like, oh, it's almost like you could be the mastermind. And his father's like, you can't prove that. And he's like, but you can't prove it otherwise either.
Yeah. He's like, how could you say that to me? How could you say that I would be capable of such a horrible thing? And he's like, doesn't it feel terrible?
What a bunch of shitheads. So, zippy zap, we're back in town. And it's time for a trip to the theater. They're there to see a play. And this is when Harriet learns people don't actually give a shit about the play. They are here to see and be seen and gossip. And of course, who shows up but Bryce Moreland, that fuckwit weasel shithead. And he sits down and he is basically like trying to seduce her and like make it clear that he's a prospect.
It's wild.
And then Gideon shows up and he just completely ignores Bryce. And he walks up to Harriet and like kisses her hand and sits next to her and is like, have you had a lovely evening so far yet, dear? And she's like, yeah. It's fine. Nobody seems to give a shit about the play, though.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
Yeah. And so later on when they're at home, she's like, hey, Gideon, I really need you to stop parading me around like I'm a prized mare. Like, I understand why you're doing it, because I'm the only person in the last 6 years that's ever believed anything like any good in you. And I understand like the feeling that you might have of being like, look, world, this woman thinks I'm good, but like, I hate it and I don't like society and I don't want to do that. I want to look at fossils.
And she also calls him out on being a big hulking brute and acting like a petulant child about everything.
Like, about specifically Bryce Moreland.
Yeah, because he won't explain. He won't explain what his issue was with Moreland until finally he breaks and he's like, Deirdre was pregnant with Bryce's kid.
No, no. This is when we find out that he gave him the scar.
Oh, this is when I figured out.
Yeah.
This is when I figured it out. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, my note was spoiler not super alert, clear. Listener.
Sorry, listener.
You're a Sherlock Holmes.
I Sherlock Holmes'd and now spoiled it for everybody. Oh, no. If you didn't already guess that Bryce was the father of the child.
Yeah, he's the one that seduced Deirdre or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so now they're like being cute and stuff.
They have sex and they have the cutest interaction because she is exploring him. He's like, show me that I'm more interesting than your fossils. Treat me as like something to investigate. And so she does investigate. Although, did we really have to start with like a fossil and foot conversation? But then she does make it all the way up. And then she's like, now we come to a most interesting discovery. And he says, do not tell me you have found fossils of that particular anatomical item. And she says, no, but this is certainly as hard as any fossil I've ever dug out of stone.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh, Harriet.
It's so good.
But yeah, then we just have a lot of like really cute interaction. But the next morning, more importantly, Gideon is at the horse market because he's looking for Moreland because he like wants to basically be like, stay the fuck away from my wife. But he gets distracted because he sees the perfect little Arabian mare and he's immediately like, oh,
he wants to get her a horsey.
Harriet would like that horse. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Harriet would like that horse. And then Moreland finds him instead and comes up and starts making snide remarks. And Gideon, because he's a fucking sexy, powerful motherfucker, doesn't even look at him. He's just staring at the horses. And he's like, you should really stay the fuck away from my wife, Moreland. You should stay the fuck away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does buy her that horsey.
And so Moreland gets really mad and he decides that he's going to get even. Mm-hmm. And so Moreland's whole thing, basically to sum it up, we find out in his villain monologue pretty soon here, but basically he's been really jealous of Gideon his whole life, and he's been pissed off that, like, Gideon has more than him, even though he's, like, less charming and burr-da-burr-da-burr. And so when they were play fighting, quote unquote, he on purpose, like, went to cut the shit out of Gideon and maybe kill him accidentally. Oh, no. And then when Gideon was, like, totally besotted with Deirdre, Deirdre did not want anything to do with him because she thought he was hideous and awful, and she was being forced to marry him by her father. Mm-hmm. And so Moreland stepped in and seduced her and got her pregnant. And the reason that he wanted to do that is because he was going to make sure Gideon knew he could take whatever was his, especially yes. if it was a woman. And so now she's in the middle of this, like, this quasi privately owned bone museum. And she's like, well, you can't have me. I'm with him. I like him. I'm cool. And he's like, well, then I'll make sure. I'll just take you by force and I'll knock you up.
And what are you going to do? Tell him? You're not even going to tell him, because why the fuck would you tell the Beast of Blackthorn Hall? He's not going to believe you, and then he's going to hurt you. And she's like, in yeah. what fucking world? Like,
you don't know him at all. Mm-hmm. And you don't know me.
Yeah. And so she ends up getting away. Warning. She bashes him in the head with a rock,
yeah.
a fossil, and makes it home. And he is fully knocked out. And when she gets home, she is just horrified. She's in shock, runs into Gideon's arms, and yeah. then tells him the story of what happened. And Gideon is fit to be tied. He is pissed.
He's so mad.
And then we find out that what she's actually worried about, she's like, nothing happened to me, but what if I murdered him? What, like, that's all yes. she cares about. She's like, I might have to go to the continent. What if I murdered him? And he's like, yeah. okay, well, I'm going to go check out the body and see what's going on. We know that's not what's happening, listener. He's going to go cause some ruckus. And she's like, oh, yeah. okay, fine, eventually. But she wants to go with him. She's like, I'll be your lookout, because she's the cutest thing in the entire fucking world.
It's so cute.
And he's like, no, you're going to go upstairs and stay there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go check out this. So he does. He goes to the place and there's nothing there. There's just some blood on the ground. So then he goes to Moreland's house, and then he whatchamacallits him to a duel, provokes him. Nope.
Challenges him?
Yep, that's the word. Challenges him to a duel.
Ooh, he throws a gauntlet. And the best part is that he's like, oh, to make it official, don't I have to throw a glove in your face? Here I go. And he just conks him one.
Oh, my God.
Just smashes his gloved fist into his face. It's incredible.
So sexy. And then Gideon goes yeah. and asks Lord Fry and Lord Applebottom Doorman to be his seconds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so cute. And Harriet yeah. is pissed when she finds out. She's like, what the fuck do you mean you challenge this dude to a duel? Because the reason that she doesn't want him dueling is she's worried that he's going to die or get hurt. She doesn't give a shit that he's protecting her honor. She doesn't want anything to happen to him.
No, he's her lobster. Why would she want him to get hurt?
He's her.
And so she's like, what? If you... You haven't heard the phrase, you're my lobster?
No.
Oh, it's a thing. I don't remember where it came from. You can Google it. It's like, it's basically being like, you're the one person in the whole wide world for me kind of situation.
I've heard you're my penguin, because penguins mate for life.
Okay, well, lobster's a different but similar sentiment, yeah.
Lobsters mate for life?
Actually, I think they might, yeah.
That's horrifying.
But I think it's also how dare because, you?
No, the reason
so,
it's
hey, listener, to all lobsters out there, I am so sorry about Sabrina. If you're a lobster, don't listen to Sabrina. You're great.
I really hope that the two lobster tails that I ate the other day
were mated.
They were mated, and that their lover lobster is not just crawling across
alone
alone for the rest of its life. I don't care about eating you. I just don't want to leave your lover mourning you. So I'd rather eat you both. Yeah. Is really what it boils down
to. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now you know that you should always eat lobster in pairs.
I think I'd eat a penguin.
Interesting. No, I think the other thing about the you're my lobster sentiment is that you're also like the perfect weirdo for that person. I'm pretty sure there's like that element to it.
Are lobsters that weird?
I don't know. I think I don't know, man. Google it. You know what I mean? I'm so tired.
I think I'm putting too much weight and concern into this. Anyway,
I don't even remember what I was saying. And now I'm sad about it. Oh, no. You know what she does? She says, if you're not doing this. And he's like, oh, the fuck, I'm not. And then she says, if you continue on this path, I am not speaking to you at all.
Well, hang on. Before all of this, she confesses that she loves him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That's what I meant by you're my lobster.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry. I didn't make that clear at all. So.
No, you did not. I was like, wait, hang on. Something
and then
really
we went
important.
On a crustacean tangent.
We sure did. So anyway, then she's like, I'm not fucking talking to you. And then she saunters right the fuck back out. And oh my God, he is so fucking delighted. She tells him, you heard me. Not one more word. As of this moment, I am no longer speaking to you, sir. Harriet swung around on her heel and marched out of Gideon's bedroom. Gideon stared after her, torn between a mad desire to shout for joy and an equally strong wish to turn the little shrew over his knee. She loved him.
Oh,
Gideon hugged the knowledge close to his heart, the way he held Harriet herself in the middle of the night. Aw, it's so cute. But anyway, Zippy zap to a ball where she is still not speaking to him. He literally walks up to her at this ball and says, may I have this waltz, madam? And then picks her up and carries her to the dance floor.
Because she tries to, like, turn her back on him. And he's like, no way.
And then while they're out there, though, rectum asshole comes up and starts spewing some shit again. And Harriet takes this man to the floor and starts wailing on him in defense of Gideon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Yeah. And Gideon does grab her up off of the floor, takes her back home, and is like,
right.
Did you mean what you said earlier about loving me? And she was like, yes, I did.
Yes, of course.
It was super adorable. But then she goes back to not talking to him because the next day she uses her sister as like the go-between. She's like, if you would tell Gideon that he's a fool and a ding-dong, and then her family finds out why he challenges Apple, Moreland, to the duel, and they're like, oh yeah, no, this is right. He definitely should have.
Yeah. This is the only course of action. The other thing that happens is that she's at her wit's end thinking this duel is going to happen. And so she writes his parents and begs them to come to London.
Yes.
So his parents show up and he is fucking pissed. And he's like, you entertain them. I want nothing to do with them. And she's like, listen, man, you won't listen to me. So I thought maybe you would listen to them.
Which is like, Harriet, that's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, right. So they find out that Bryce Moreland is a big giant coward and he fucked off to the continent and he's not going to do the duel. And Harriet's like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And up until now, there's been a bunch of like scuttlebutt about how public this challenge has been. Like, it's illegal right now in England times to duel. So normally you like try to keep it hush hush. But he specifically went to like the two guys that he knew would shout it from the rooftops because they think it makes them so cool to be the seconds.
I'm a second.
So that everybody would know about this challenge and Moreland couldn't like squirrel his way out of it unless he did something really drastic. Scandalous and crazy. Like, yeah.
Escaping
like
leave to the continent.
The island. Right. And so she's like, oh, my gosh, did you plan it like this the whole time? And he was like, well, yeah, I was hoping it would turn out this way, but I definitely would have shivved him if I had to. And like bringing my parents here wasn't going to stop me. But then he and his dad have a conversation because he's like, wait, how are you dueling Bryce Moreland? You guys were friends. And he's like, yeah, dad, I was friends with him until he seduced my fiance and got her pregnant and then wouldn't do it the right thing about it. And then she killed herself. Like, that was really hard. And then nobody believed me that I wasn't the one that touched her and ravished her, because that's the whole thing. The whole thing about town has been that she was such a good girl. She was such a pure rector's daughter that she would have to be forced in order to become pregnant by someone, especially a hulking, ugly brute like the beast of Briarwick Manor. And so the dad is like, wait a second. Oh, no, I did it again, didn't I?
So I was super impressed initially that you remembered Briarwick. So like that has imprinted on me. That's fine. But now it's Manor instead of Hall. And it just brings me a lot of joy that you just rewrite as you please. You're like, we're out.
Smelly fanfic.
Time to rewrite.
Anyway, so the dad is like, wait a second. He did this? And he's like, yeah, he has the whole time. And like, I didn't touch her and nobody believed me. And you didn't believe me. My own family didn't believe me. And that's when he said, for all of these years, have you also thought that I killed your other son, my brother? And he's like, what? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, we never believed that in the slightest. That was an accident.
Yeah. And so we have this sort of family redemption moment. And it's really cute because the mom pulls.
Before the mom gets there, he gets his dad's help looking at the list of, because guess who forgot the thieves were a thing at this point in the book? Me too. And because he's looking at this list
The other subplot is like they know that they got like the guys on the ground, but he's pretty sure there's a mastermind that they still need to catch.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten about the thief subplot. It was not even a twinkle in the corner of my eye. So he's looking at this list of potential masterminds and his dad comes over and starts talking about it. And so we haven't talked about this like at all this episode because it's very minor, but Gideon is very much like a lone wolf. Like he's not going to share his plan. He's going to do all of these things on his own.
He hasn't had a confidant in more than 6 years because everyone turned their backs on him. Like,
absolutely.
Jesus, poor guy.
But he realizes that maybe it's not so bad getting people's insight because the dad and him are looking at it. And then his mom and Harriet walk in and they have some really good insight into this listicle of potential masterminds. And he's like, wow, I've gotten more done in this single morning than I have figured out in days on my own. And it just made me really happy because I think that it was the show that we needed, that in the future, it's not always going to be like this with him and Harriet. Like he'll open up to her.
Oh,
and it made
absolutely
me really glad.
Yeah.
So then his reputation ends up being saved. The next time they go out in public, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe that anybody ever thought that about you. Blah, blah, blah. You
and
fucking
like, will you give me horse advice, please now?
So then we have a really cute scene where Gideon's mom is like, thank you for bringing me my son back.
Yeah.
Because this is the son that I knew. And like, it was really touching. And then guess what? Zippy zap. It's time for Harriet's first party.
Oh, that's right. They make her throw a party.
Yeah. And the important thing, the only important thing that happens at this party is that they catch that grumpy museum guy and they think that's the mastermind.
Right. But he's not.
Think
because, again, listener,
because they get a letter that somebody's after Harriet's bones from Mrs. Stone. And I love that. Hacklewick. Nope.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The dad. Yep. The dad Hacklewick. He's like, I didn't know that Mrs. Stone could read. And I was like, fucking A, dude.
Good Lord. So they go back to North Biddleton.
He is not interested in going back. But no. Like, Harriet's like, my bones, Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
My fossils. Mm-hmm. And so they go. And when they get there, it's night. And Gideon and she go to Pound Town. And it's adorable. And then when he wakes up the next morning, she has disappeared.
Well, because she had places to be. She had something scheduled on her planner. And it was check bones. Check bones immediately.
Look fossil. Look fossil. Yeah. Quickly. And so she goes down into the caves. And she's in the caves working on her wall. And then she doesn't notice that somebody's come up behind her. And when she turns around, it's Rector Rectum. With a pistol pointed at her. And then, listener, I did not Sherlock Holmes this at all. We get the truth. Apparently, Rector Rectum killed
Deirdre.
Killed Gideon's brother. And then accidentally shot Deirdre and covered it up and made it look like Gideon, or she killed herself because of Gideon. And what the fuck? I did not Sherlock Holmes it at all.
Yeah. And so he's there to be like, I'm going to take you out because, like, you've ruined everything. He's ruined everything. You can't break up my thief ring. Like, I need some way to make money now that I can't force my daughter to marry the guy that I murdered into being the Earl. That's the reason that he killed the brother, because the brother was already affianced to someone else.
And then Gideon shows up and gets him on the ground and
saves the day.
Saves the day. And that's basically the end, listener.
No.
They're together forever.
The pistol goes off. Kaplow!
Oh,
and then an entire slate comes off of the wall where she did find
T-Rex,
that tooth.
Right.
And it's a full T-Rex skeleton on that wall.
T-Rex. Yep.
It's a full T-Rex skeleton. It's like, and it's like, it, like, she can see the whole thing right on the side.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean?
I totally forgot to talk about this early because it's the end. We have the epilogue. It's adorable.
Yeah, they're together
babies.
Forever. It's wonderful.
Fantastic.
Whatever.
One of the things that I forgot to talk about earlier, it was just like a random side note that brought me so many swoony feels, was when he was like, I can't wait until she's pregnant. And then once the babe is born, I can't wait to see her holding that child, sketching fossils.
Yeah.
Oh, Gideon, you're so in love.
I know. Well, and he also says that to her out loud at some point. We get like the full love declaration.
Oh, yeah. He does say, I love you.
Yeah. Listener, just in case you were wondering.
Just in case you were curious.
He comes to his senses.
But yeah. So the end, listener. It was wonderful. It was delightful. It was a romp. No regrets.
It was great. Super appreciate.
I've never read an Amanda Quick before, but I have heard that this is a delightful one.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It was a romp.
All right, Sabrina, what is one of your 8 lady loves that you're keeping all to yourself?
So I feel like we should talk about our shared lady love real quick.
Okay, listener, the most magical fucking thing happened at our watch party for 50 Shades Freed.
Oh, my God. So HB Emily loves collecting old-timey historical novels in physical form.
Like the paperbacks from yore, not old timey historicals, but like 1990s paperbacks of historicals.
Yes.
And so we were all on the
David.
Call. Yeah. And HB David was there and he was like, hey, check out the haul that I just got at the used bookstore. And apparently
one of them is a book that HB Emily has been like keeping an eye on. And for like ever, and it's like she tracks it on eBay.
She's
and
only
everything.
Ever seen it for like way more than $50.
Yeah.
And she tells him that, and David being exactly who he is and who he's always been, I love him so much. He looked at her and he said, DM
me
your
address.
And I'll send it to you. And she was like, what? He's like, yeah, I got it for $2. I'll send it to you.
We all cried. All of us cried.
Truly.
I was a fucking weepy mess.
Truly.
It was beautiful. And just watching HB's love HB's made me really, really emotional. And it was just really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love our little community.
I do, too.
so much. So, David, thank you for being amazing as usual.
Yeah. And I hope that you, I think that as of us recording this, tomorrow, HB Emily should have received her book.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another one that HB Charissa is also giving HB Emily. Another book that she's been looking for.
Incredible.
And they're close enough to be friends IRL. I know. God, I'm so jealous.
I know.
Any noodles.
So we need to have like an shared... HB meetup in Boston.
I absolutely. Count
don't
me the fuck
threaten
in.
Threaten me with a good time.
Count me in.
What's your other lady love?
Oh my God, my time has come, Melody.
Get ready.
Storygraph Plus.
Oh, okay.
Has custom pie charts and bar graphs based on your tags.
Oh, shit.
You can make custom pie charts and bar graphs based on your tags.
Wow.
I got the email and I've been putting off signing up for the paid Storygraph Plus subscription because I was like, there's nothing in there that's quite exactly like something that is going to make me fucking fly off the handle and do the thing. And
then I literally opened that. Sabrina's eyes right now. It's incredible.
Are they that crazy?
I love them.
I opened an email. I was sitting at work.
Yeah.
And I just happened to get an email and I was like, no, I'd stepped outside for a moment.
Okay.
And to take a quick break. And I opened that email sitting in my car. And when I tell you, I screamed.
No!
I screamed in my car. And then I sat there. I texted everybody that I knew, except for you, because I needed except to tell me. You about it in person. Yeah. And then I had to like do some deep breathing exercises. I have been waiting for, I have been preparing for this moment. I have almost 1,300 tags.
So are
it's
we saying
my time?
Wait, so are we saying that it's going to make up a pie chart with 1,300 tags?
No,
or it's going
to
be
get
like
to pick and choose what tags go in the thingamabob.
And it'll tell you how many of those tags you've read? Or like
no.
What books are in there?
It gives you a pie chart of like, so for example, one of my set of tags is, you know, MM, MF, FF, MX, FX.
Yeah.
It's MMF, et cetera, et cetera. And you put all of those into a pie chart and then it shows you the pie chart of all of the I'll make you some pie charts.
I don't understand. It'll
I'll
tell you
some,
how many books you've read of each one.
It's just a pie chart of each how many books you've read of each tag. I could make these pie charts myself. But I don't have to because Storygraph will do it for me. And now I pay for the pleasure of them making it for me.
Look at them go. Look at you go. Look at your dreams coming true.
The only thing as of right now is that you cannot edit these charts. And I need to be able to edit and add and remove tags from the chart for it to be a perfect thing. But guess what? I have already emailed them.
I love you so much.
Requesting the ability to edit them. Anyway.
Loving
so that's my lady
you.
Love. My lady love is Storygraph has pie charts and bar graphs now.
I love it. Oh my God.
It's like I've been unintentionally preparing for this my entire Storygraph life.
Ooh, it's so
anyway,
great.
Anyway, what's your lady love?
I mean, I think it has to be get yourself 5 yards of dirt.
It's gotta be. I was waiting. I was like, I don't know that I'm gonna accept anything else.
I'm
like,
sorry, if you everyone. If you get yourself your version of 5 yards of dirt, because does it sound crazy? Yeah, but boy, it's just gonna kickstart you into everything you want to accomplish, and it's so exciting. And like, maybe you'll smell a tiny bit like manure at the end of the day, but you'll be the happiest pig in slop.
You're
going to
be the happiest manure smelling person in the entire world.
Yeah. And your butt is going to be so delightfully sore from like clenching and lifting all day, you know? Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And I felt like $10 zillion being like, look at me fucking doing this, you know? Like, it's a big accomplishment to go from that giant pile of dirt to my driveway is clear.
I'm going to make a reminder to add, make sure that there's a picture of this for Instagram, because like, it is truly a mind-boggling amount of dirt. And Melody looks...
It's a physical
so
feat.
Fucking happy. I'm digging so around happy. In this dirt. Who took that picture?
Michael.
Oh my God. He really caught the crazy eyes.
The crazy eyes. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think it's because my eyes were only crazy while I was looking at that dirt.
You were like, this is what dreams are made of.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, yeah, I'm so excited. This shit, it was so light and fluffy, and it's like the perfect amount of compost and like fertilizer and manure.
I'm gonna have to figure out how did you even find where to get dirt?
I did a Google, and then I did a lot of calling and a lot of comparison shopping and a lot of figuring out delivery fees and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay, I'm going to talk with you about it because I think that it might be better. Like, I don't know that it depends on how many raised beds that I make, you know, and what
you can probably get less delivered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you probably only need like maybe one or two yards if you're just doing raised beds, especially if they're like, you know, 12 or 18 inch raised beds. Mm-hmm. Okay. You won't need as much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like debating between like, do I just get bags or do I just go ahead and get a whole host of shit? Delivered?
Yeah, we can chat about it.
Yeah. I have questions.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well,
keep
being a badass.
I was so fucking close, Melody. I was like, oh my God. I almost just forced us to keep talking for a little bit. I am 9 stitches away from being done with my second knitted while talking on podcast washcloth. I was so fucking close.
Well, I bet you can do that by the time we come up with a keep being a badass.
That's not Stanley Cups?
Yeah. Keep being a badass and love yourself as much as you love Lady Whipplethorpe and Lord Applebottom Gorman.
And boy howdy, as much as you love a fucking fossil tooth. Because, like, she could not shut up about that fossil tooth the entire fucking book. And you know what?
Sabrina, they are so much better than toes for identifying
Applegate!
Aminals.
Applegate, why do you care so much about the metatarsals, okay?
He wants those feet bones.
I'm
so
sorry.
Bad.
You don't know who I'm talking about. Applebottom Doorman.
Yeah, that's the one.
To be clear.
Bye!
Damn it. 4 fucking stitches.
Did you get distracted?
Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by Melody Carlisle.
Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, leave a nice review, and of course, tell all your friends about us, even if they don't read romance.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram @heavingbosoms, on TikTok @heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult.
Head over to our website to sign up for our newsletter, get our Reading Embrace printable, and check out my audiobooks at heavingbosoms.com. All right, we'll be back next week with more Swoons and Snark. See you then.